Now, this 18th verse is very important. We'll spend some time talking about it. It's very difficult. Took me a lot of time to think and understand this verse. And so I'll try my best. Yeah, we'll also summarize it next week. I mean, next week we have no class in 2 weeks, so that, because it's an important verse, so some people are missing. So verse number 18. Also, 18 is a very special for the Bhagavad Gita, because the Bhagavad Gita has 18 chapters. And this 18th verse is the most important verse in this particular chapter. There are, of course, others also, but this is a very powerful verse as far as karma is concerned. Also, there are 18 Mahapuranas. So there's a lot of significance of 18. So verse number 18. Karmanya karma yav pasyet. Akarmani cha karma yaha. Sabuddhiman manushyeshu. Sayukta kritsna karma krita. Together. Karmanya karma yav pasyet. Akarmani cha karma yaha sabuddhiman manushyeshu sayukta kritsna karma krita. So this is I'll translate and then we'll do the comment. So karmani akarma yaf pasyet. Yaf means one, yaha, that whoever that person is, pasyet, one who sees. Karmani akarma. In karma, he sees akarma. So in action, he sees inaction. So when there is action going on, he says there is no action. What? When there's action going on, he says there is no action. Yes. And akarmani cha karma yaha. Akarmani means in inaction, he sees action. Akarmani cha karma yaha. Yaha, whoever that. That means when there is no action going on, he sees action. He says what? When there is action going on, he sees no action. And when there is no action going on, he sees action. Yep, that is what Bhagavan is saying. Sa buddhiman manushyeshu. Such a person is buddhiman. He is intelligent. He said, I would call him a buddhiman. Unwise. How can you call a person wise who says when there is action going on, he said, there is no action. And when there is no action going on, he says, there is action. He says, such a person is buddhiman, according to Bhagavan Sri Krishna. We don't think so, but he says so. So maybe we should think a little about it. And not only he is a buddhiman, he is a yukta. Yukta means what? He is very clear. Yukta in this BMI chart means when the mind and intellect are combined. See, in our case, what happens is the intellect thinks that this is what I should do. That is called Shreya in the cutoff. But the mind wants prayer. Like, you know, I am diabetic. I'm not supposed to eat sugar. But the mind says, come on, you know, shadi kabhi kabhi to hoti hai. You know, once in a while we are in a wedding. It's okay. Have some sugar. So, or this is not right. I should be honest. But the mind says it's okay. You know, nobody's watching. Let's, you know, get away with it. Let's cheat on our taxes or whatever. But when the intellect, which is guided by the right knowledge from the scriptures, determines what the mind should do and what the body should do, such a person is called yukta. So Bhagavan says a person who sees action in inaction, inaction in action, is buddhiman, is wise, he is yukta, he is united, and kritsna karma krita, and he has done everything he came to do. So that means he is a very evolved individual. So let us think a little bit about it. What do we mean by action in inaction and inaction in action? So Vedavyas, actually Bhagwan Vedavyas ji is the one who composed the Bhagavad Gita, actually wrote the whole Mahabharata, 100,000 verses, and he needed somebody to write. I've told this story before. So he asked Ganesh ji if he would write, and Ganesh ji was writing. But Ganesh ji had a condition that you will not stop talking. You can't say, I need to think, what is the next verse, it's not coming. He said, if you say that, I'll be gone. I won't come back. He said, okay, I'll keep on speaking and you keep on writing, but my condition is you will not write unless you understand what I'm saying. So Ganeshji said, okay. So he would throw verses like these so that Ganeshji needs a moment to think. What does he mean by inaction, inaction, action, and inaction? Like in the second chapter, he says, Ya Nisha Sarva Bhutanam Tasyam Jagarti Sayami. While everybody is sleeping, the wise person is awake. You know, so verses like that, which need some thinking. So it's not so much for Ganeshji, it is for us to think. That is why these kind of verses are put in, for us to think, what exactly does the Lord mean? What does the teacher mean? So it is meant to think. That is what. So action and inaction can be either from the worldly standpoint or can be from the spiritual standpoint. So from the worldly standpoint, there is a story about Akbar. Everybody knows Akbar was a great king. And his minister was Birbal, who was very wise, his prime minister. And he would always give him advice. And Akbar always, you know, made blunders. And then Birbal had to advise him. So Akbar once says, you know, I am the king of this country. Anybody who insults me, I will have him killed. So Birbal said, okay, Jahapana, if you say so. Anybody, he says, yeah, anybody. So then the next day, Akbar's little grandson was playing. He was about 2 years old. So Birbal picks him up and puts him in Akbar's lap. Now Akbar had a long beard, and so this boy started pulling the beard, you know, hard. And Akbar was laughing, you know, it was hurting him, but oh, the two-year-old is doing. And then also, as children do, he did what children do and made Akbar wet. And so Akbar still didn't say anything. So Birbal said, sir, look, he not only pulled your beard, he made you wet. And you said anybody who insults you. The point is, why Akbar didn't get angry? Because that boy didn't know what he was doing. There was no ego. If it was a teenage grandson, and if he had come and pulled Akbar's beard, he would have been very unhappy. But he said, this is a two-year-old. So when there is no ego or doer, then that action do not affect you. Like in sleep, you know, somebody kicks you in the sleep, person sitting next to you, I mean, sleeping next to you. Your spouse in the sleep, he or she kicks, you forgive that person. That person didn't know. Or as I said in the beginning, the mother scolding the child. If she's not doing it for selfish, then that action is not wrong. Or a soldier, you know, in the battlefield, he's asked to kill the enemy. He's shooting with a gun, even though shooting is bad, but my country needs my help because the enemy has attacked. So that killing also does not count as sin. But the same soldier, if he comes home from the war and he has an argument with his neighbor and takes out the gun and kills him, he will be put in jail. The same action, killing with a gun, but in the battlefield, he gets a cross, he gets a medal. While in the house, he is punished. So the motive is very important. So even when the person is doing an action, he is maybe appearing negative, but it does not contaminate. On the other hand, action in inaction is like I'm supposed to help somebody, right? Somebody is harassing a girl or has kidnapped her or is taking her away. Or I see a crime being committed, I say, I don't want to be involved. I don't want to go afterwards to the police, court, kaun chakkar kaatega, court ke and all. So, but if I see something wrong happening or at work, somebody's cheating or somebody's dishonest, you say, it's not affecting me, the company's money he's stealing. No, if something wrong is going on and I don't fix it, even though that is inaction, that is a wrong action. I'm supposed to do it, but I didn't do it. Another example is like Gurudev said, is like a great thinker, you know, like a person who is going to invent or discover something new, or a poet who is composing poetry, or an author who is writing a novel. He may be sitting and thinking, and you say, oh, he's sitting and wasting his time. No, but his mind is intensely active. So in inaction, there is action. He is working, but you don't see he is working. There's a very famous story about this. This was in the 18th century. This happened in France. So there was this farmer who was going to work. It was a hot day already. By 8-9 o'clock, the sun was very hot. It was summer, and he was already regretted, you know, not looking forward. And he said, "All day I have to work in the hot sun in the field. You know, we have to dig the ground and do all that." As he was going, he came to a lake on the way, and there was this man very well dressed, you know, in those days wearing those that type of coat, and very sitting in the shade of a tree and throwing pebbles in the lake. He would throw a pebble and watch. He would throw, "What is some crazy fellow? He's sitting and doing nothing, throwing pebbles. Okay, some hoga koi pagal." So then he went to work, and whole day he worked in the hot sun. He's sweating and tired and unhappy and exhausted. He hardly had time to eat. And he comes home. On his way home, he passes the lake, and that same guy is sitting. Not only he, now he's eating a sandwich, and he's still throwing pebbles. He took out a sandwich, he's eating. He says, "World is so unfair, you know, this farmer thinks. You know, look at me, I work so hard, and this guy is doing nothing. He looks well-dressed, looks like he has plenty of money, and he's just throwing pebbles in the lake. What kind of a job is that? On top of that, he's eating a sandwich. You know, he should be giving it to me." So he went home. But the point is, the farmer is long gone and dead. But you know who was that person throwing pebbles? He was Monet. Claude Monet is a great French painter who was planning his next painting, where he was throwing rocks and watching the waves. And he has made a very beautiful painting of the waves, which hangs in all the famous museums of the world. So he was composing that. It looked like he was doing nothing, but he was. So the point is, we cannot judge by looking at a person whether he's working or not. So to think that if the person is sitting, he is useless is misunderstanding. So that is the essence, that like the Supreme Court judges, they only work 3 months in the year. But the remaining 9 months, they are thinking all their in their mind, all the cases and their decisions. And in those 3 months, the decision they make affects countries for years, like the abortion decision, you know, Roe versus Wade. Even today, there is so much discussion about it. So the point is that just by activity, you cannot tell. So that is called inaction in action, or action in inaction. It appears the person is not doing anything, but actually he is thinking, doing a lot. At the highest level, at the level of the spirituality, this verse means that while I am busy working in the world, I am doing everything, but a wise person knows that I am this Atman, the Self, which is actionless. So even though my body is working, even though I am speaking, even though I am writing, even though I am teaching, whatever I am doing, but inside I know that I am this actionless Self. So even while activity is going on, I see inactivity. I see the Lord, because the Lord himself does not do anything, but in the Lord's presence, everything happens. Like electricity does not do anything. But when electricity we turn on, the light comes, the fan moves, the heater moves, the, you know, heats, cooler. But electricity says, she says, "I don't do anything. I just am there." In the electricity's presence, everything is happening. So similarly, so the electricity is actionless. But in the presence of the actionless electricity, all actions are happening. The fan is moving, the heater is heating, the light is. So they say that when you are working in the world, that's why when we meditate, we turn our attention from the body to the mind, to the intellect, and ultimately to the Self, the Lord within. So the idea is, from this active mind, you quieten the mind by breathing and by chanting the mantra, and then become one with the actionless Self. So we detach from the equipment and attach to the Self. That is meditation. And that is all wise people. So what the point is, that while I'm working in the world, I should realize that. So what will happen is that if anything happens to the body, mind, and intellect, it's not happening to me. So even if the body deteriorates, if the mind is unhappy, if the intellect is insulted, it is not happening to me, because I am the Self. So that understanding, and we see that in Bhagavan Shankaracharya Ji's life. He lived for 32 years, By 8 years, he had studied all the, all the scriptures. By 12, he had written Bhashyas on so many Upanishads and Gita. By age 16, he had written Bhashya on Brahma Sutra, the highest. So by age 16, he had accomplished not only studying, but also teaching. And then from age 16 to 32, he traveled throughout India, establishing centers and debating with people and teaching them ideas and re-establishing the Vedic faith. So, but inside he knew that I am that Brahman. But wherever he went, he did. Like if he went to Krishna temple, he composed a hymn on Krishna. If he went to Devi temple, he composed Mahishasur Mardini. We chant that. So the point is that wherever he, if it was bhakti was required, he did bhakti. If karma was required, he did karma. But if jnana was required, teaching, he did that. But inside he was the self. At a parent level, it is easy to produce children. Produce children doesn't need to. Of course, your mother has to carry for 9 months, but it's not that hard. But to bring up children is another story. It's so difficult. It needs so much effort. So to produce children is too easy, but to teach them what is right, what is wrong, is not easy. And to make them do what is right. So that's why they say as a parent, it is our duty to take care of our children. So if I produce a child, but then I don't have time for the child, I don't spend time with him or her, I don't teach them the right things, then that is... So I'm not doing my duty. So I am doing a karma, but it is what kind of a karma? It is a wrong action. So in a karma, there is karma. It is wrong action. And then the highest degree of a karma is that I am God's servant. I'm not even doing anything. I don't na kinchit karomi iti. He says, Bhagavan says, a wise person says, I don't do anything. Shrunvan jighran, even while walking, talking, breathing, eating, drinking, he says, I don't do anything. The Lord is working through me. I am a humble servant of the Lord, and God is doing everything. I am just a servant. I am his instrument. And then the instrument, the pen itself does not write. There is a conscious individual who has to hold the pen and write. Pen cannot write by itself. So similarly, I am not doing anything. The Lord is working through me. So that is the highest. Even in action, there is inaction. I don't do anything. I am just his servant. So this verse, I hope I was able to convey what is action in inaction and inaction in action. Even while I am doing, I am not doing. And even while I am not doing, I am doing. So that's why I use so many examples to try and illustrate this. I hope, if not, we can go over it again at the end. And then the verse number 19, which is shorter one, which is the 18th verse is the most important in karma. And the next 4 or 5 verses are commentary on the 18th verse. So 19th verse is a commentary on the 18th verse. And also next week, we will continue this topic of karma.